Back then, So don't play with the buttons.
Go ahead. No games.
I like that. I'll turn on the Melissa tonight.
It's an old one.
Can I move it down more towards where Beth is normally for you? Is it, do you want me to move that down to where Beth normally sits? I know that's where you usually
idea.
Put it.
Sure.
Yeah,
just
sound program would be good, but I wanted to
come. Hello? Can you guys hear me on the speaker?
Yep.
Okay, the meeting is already in open session. I would like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
This is quite a surprise after the budget workshop to have this small group again. It's the weather here. It's too nice to come to a meeting. Okay. I move approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of March 19th, about the three budget workshops of March 20th, March 28th, and April 4th. Second? Discussion?
Correction.
Go ahead.
On page 24, which is, we voted on four ballot positions last time, the 18 mile increase for transportation of non-public schools due to 10% increase in aid for the energy project, the bus proposition, and the library. And that was, we voted on these with the understanding that these propositions had to be voted on that night if they were to be on the ballot in May, but that they could be pulled at a later date and could be discussed later. And I would like those items discussed tonight because this is the last, there's no other meeting before the budget.
Which ones, of all of them or?
Yes.
All. Okay, one is already on the agenda.
Right.
The distance.
Right.
Proposition.
Okay.
But that's not changing the minutes. That's just a suggestion. That's just something you want to do. That's not changing the minutes.
Well, it doesn't say in here that we were going to be able to pull them later or anything. So I don't care how you do it, but.
Okay. If we need more discussion on those propositions, we should do it tonight.
Right.
Okay. There is one spelling correction, Kate. You wrote abstain instead of abstain. Oh, that's fine. Just a typo. Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed? Okay, our first public comment session. As you probably well know, we will have a second one at the end of the meeting. Ronnie?
I just have a question. I think, Mr. Keeney, you mentioned that one of the budget workshops, the fund balance number that was 1.something million. Is that right? I was just confused because I saw on some of the documents you have on the website that a number for FY
change the different designations of the fund balance. I'll let Beth talk to what is assigned and unassigned. In the past, the fund balance in general was the total of all your reserves, your appropriated and unappropriated fund balance. So that's what we were talking about when we were saying okay, the totals.
So that total was the reserve as well as the unreserved?
Yes.
So the unrestricted fund balance is the unrestricted would be the total of about 1.2, is that right?
Are you, what point in time are you at? And I guess,
I guess I'm looking at the next year. It's a little hard to decide. This was a little confusing. You've got...
The property tax report card is one of the things we discussed tonight, so we can go over it then, and if you don't mind. But basically, at the end of, in the 11-12 year, we finished with roughly $2.4
million. And the fund balance.
And the fund balance, and that's all fund balances.
Okay.
The 1.1 of that was appropriated, and that's to close the budget gap.
Okay,
and then we're projecting... At the end of this year, going at the end of June 30th, 2012, approximately 1.7. And we're recommending that 800 of that be appropriated.
But that's not all unrestricted, is it? Because that would put it above at 4%.
Correct. So the adjusted unrestricted is now the new unappropriated. And that was at $708,411. And that was 3.9%. So right under.
I see, okay.
And then, actually, I'm only recommending that we keep 3% unappropriated because we are basically starting to cannibalize and shrink with our fund balances. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Good question. Any other comments, questions at this point? Okay, thank you. We move right into item 6, which is superintendent administrative reports.
Just a couple of things. The Friday prior to Memorial Day will be a day that we are giving back because we didn't use 2 snow days. And there's 185 days in the calendar, and in the teacher's contract there's only 183 working days. So the Friday prior to Memorial Day will be given back as the snow day. And the Tuesday after Memorial Day will be a superintendent's conference day. That's the day that we've been trying to get other districts together and do something with the APPR. We have stuff scheduled here for our people as well, but we're shooting for the Tuesday after Memorial Day because if we can work it with other districts, right now Granville's the only one that's willing to participate with us, and we have to work out the details as to whether or not we're going to go there, they're going to come here, or whether or not it even works. But the Friday before Memorial Day and the Tuesday after, one will be a snow day give back, and the other one will be Tuesday, a superintendent conference day. On the website, as well as to each of the board members, I gave a copy of the state of the district. It's multiple pages. I think probably the best thing would be to have everybody get a chance to read it, digest it before we go into any details. Some of the things that were not addressed in the state of the district basically are part of what's going on financially. That's up in the air from the standpoint of what happens in May. We are in the position, and I haven't even said anything to the board yet, have gone back and forth with Betty Little, and we have a meeting on April 26th at noon in her Albany office, Beth and I, and I'm trying to get Rick Timms, who is the state school-wide finance consortium person, to go with us, maybe a member of the board, Tom, if you can go. They want to talk to me because there was a comment made about I was making things look or appear worse than they actually are, and I was not too kind in an email to one of her assistants. And as a result, Betty has called and set up an appointment to meet with her so we can have a discussion as to why we are in such dire straits. I'm trying to put together some information, too, to show how, as our combined wealth ratio has gone up, our expense-driven revenues have gone down over the years, and I'll share that as soon as I'm done with that. But the April 26th day, 10 days from today, it is probably very important, just so we're going to talk specifically about Cambridge, but in general as well, to what's happening with schools. And I think it's a perfect opportunity because I've asked and asked and asked, and she's ignored me, and now she's finally after me. Email to her staff member who I worked with in Hudson Falls has extended an invitation for us to meet. So
that's at noon?
That's at noon on April 26th.
In Albany?
In Albany, in their Albany office, yes. The same room that we went down and lobbied with the students. And the only other thing I had on my list, because we're going through with the budget, would be under new business 9E, the resolution for transportation. But since that's going to be discussed, I will leave that for the discussion at that time. Other than that, who wants to go first? Oh! There are four candidates for the board seats. Let's see, Steve Lulla, Carrie Brown, Augie Brownell, and Peggy McLennan. And we have to draw the order in which they're going to appear on the ballot.
Okay, good. I thought we were going to break the democratic process here.
No, no, we have to. We can't put them alphabetically in order. You got to put them so the clerk will pick.
Augie Brownell. Peggy McLennan. Stephen Moore. Carrie Brown. Can I just say something? I don't know all these people, so if they are here tonight, I appreciate if they'd stand up and reach to me.
I'm Augie Brownell.
Thank you. I'm Carrie Brown.
Steve and Peggy are not here.
Okay.
The Cambridge Faculty Association usually has a meet the candidates night too, and I'm sure that will be scheduled too. What's that, usually the week before? Does anybody know? The week before the vote?
That sounds about right.
Within a couple weeks of the vote.
Yeah, okay. So it'll be that evening. Other than that, do you have anything to say? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, I guess. Okay. An APCR update, it's a slow process, but we are making a lot of progress on the rubric development portion, that 60% of the APPR. We've been meeting regularly once a week. We are looking to do a either a half or a full day meeting so that we can get a large chunk of time to take care of a lot of it. We kind of have a system and a process now that seems to be working quite well for the group. Also, we have our PE teachers, K-12, are involved in meeting with other school districts to develop the student learning objectives, or the SLOs, for PE. They have had, they've met already. They had three total meetings scheduled to develop regionally on the SLOs for PE, so they would be common across school districts. Last I knew, there were approximately, from the BOCES, there were 85 PE teachers involved in that process, so it's pretty far-reaching in terms of participation for developing those grade-by-grade SLOs for physical education.
Excuse me, Tammy, how about stuff like art, music?
There is a day, I know there's one day that's planned coming up. Queensbury's hosting a day for art and music. And that I'd like to have some folks participate in. But a lot of the things are coming through from the component school districts through BOCES as a request, that BOCES kind of spearhead some of these, putting together at least these programs so that individual districts who may only have one or two teachers per that in that discipline are at least able to band with other districts to form these SLOs. So.
That's part of what I was alluding to. I was trying with the PE teachers, it was $100 a person and 3 days of subs for each of them. So it's going to be around $2,000. Now the APPR is not supposed to cost us anything. And that's just one discipline. That's why I was trying to get the BOCES to do it. BOCES-wide Superintendent Conference Day, and maybe the art people would go to one school, music to another, and all the ones that didn't have the state exams. And Granville was the only one that had expressed an interest. So I don't think that's going to materialize, but maybe we can do something among
Rubicon Atlas update, the curriculum mapping process. We had grade level volunteers and departmental at the secondary volunteers work with a trainer who came from Rubicon Atlas from Portland, and they worked for an entire day on the premise behind why we should be curriculum mapping, what's the purpose of curriculum mapping, but also they had some hands-on time and time to actually do some of the mapping. Most of the comments were the software is very easy. It's the data input. It's just putting everything in. That's the time-consuming portion of it. And folks who were involved in that training could also see down the road how a lot of discussions, especially in a grade level where more than one teacher might be teaching a particular subject or in a department where a prep might be split, there's going to have to be a lot of discussion to arrive at a consensus map for that course. So while the software is very easy to use, I think it's going to be a time-consuming process. So we're just starting to lay out some plans for having those folks who were trained do some turnkey training for the rest of the staff. And I know, speaking for me, Colleen and I have had this discussion, that would be a priority for summer curriculum work, would be some of that mapping, especially for courses where there are multiple teachers teaching that course, and they haven't really had those conversations.
So they started mapping
Some courses, yeah, they did start mapping. They had almost half the day to map, so it was a brief overview of why, and in the software, people found it very user-friendly, and then they had about a half a day to actually start working on putting some of the information in to start mapping.
That's good. So.
Does this software let the mapping go right to the lesson plan level, or is it more?
It can. It's broken down not only by a year-long calendar, but unit by unit, and then it can be broken down from there. And in the software, there are also several places in almost every domain where there can be attachments applied. So whether it's a vocabulary list or even assessments can be attached, or links to things on the internet that are used. So teachers have a shell in place as a consensus map. From there, they would copy that consensus map and maybe make their own changes. The basic shell of that consensus map is going to stay the same, but some of the content, some of the attachments may change from person to person. But the consensus map would be kind of the umbrella that would encompass those more personalized diary maps, if you will. DASA training, the Dignity for All Students Act. Mr. McFarland went to a training in early April on the 2nd. I'll be going to an overview training in early May. And then Mr. Akins, who has agreed to do the 7-12 DASA coordinator position, as we're required to do by July 1st. He's going to do full day in-depth training for the Dignity for All Students Act. So he will, I'm sure, be given a lot of information. The one that Kyle attended was a lot about procedure and forms and things that to make the process standardized, that there's a central location where any report of bullying or harassment, as they're more calling it now, that's documented in some kind of unified fashion, so that it's consistent, from case to case as it's investigated. We're preparing for the academic fair. I have several projects that have been project proposals that have been submitted to my office from various teachers. That academic fair is going to be on May 15th, and teachers have been asked to give me their proposals so we can start to plan with Mr. Duran on setup for the auditorium and the other spaces, and hopefully we'll have those by the end of the week so that we can start planning for how that's all going to be laid out on the 15th. And tomorrow starts ELA testing, and math will be the week following. The secondary teachers, we're going to try something new, which we hope will get us off on a good start for next year when we're not allowed to score our own assessments any longer. Our teachers, currently, they can grade their own assessments, but next year they won't be able to be part of that process. So we're coupling with Galway, very similar student population to ours. We're going to meet at Gick Road so that we're sending a team of three teachers, they're sending a team of three teachers, and we're going to group score those ELA, we're providing the facilitator, and Galway's going to provide a teacher facilitator for the math assessment. So we're trying to team up and do kind of a pilot of this before we have to do this, to see what the pitfalls are, and also to capitalize on getting some BOCES aid on our substitutes and mileage as well. So, that's it.
Kind of good to have Tammy go first, because some of the things that we did together, she's covered.
I do want to say that the Rubicon session was really well received, and the feedback from the teachers has been really positive, so we do want to stay on that bandwagon.
So was it kind of 50-50 elementary, secondary?
You did departments, I did grade level. But it was, you know, it was user-friendly for everyone. And then was
Therese there? Annette Cummings?
Yeah, Therese pretty much there as
and
well.
Therese, and Therese, and then they'll be curriculum mapping as well, they can also be great turnkey trainers. People can go in the library and when they're struggling or they need any assistance with the software. And the good part about it, or one of the good parts about it, is the response was that it was very easy and teachers liked it. And again, like Tammy said, they're a little bit concerned about the time. So we really, during that meeting and as we move forward, have to set priorities. You know, we'd like this to be done well, we don't want it to be done half-baked. We want to just go with what's priority. Okay. And again, APPR committee, we are still working as we try to come up with a agreeable evaluation observation tool for teachers, and of course Tammy and I have to come up with one as well, and Kyle, which assistants have to too. There was a point where we thought it just was principals and not associates. But
any administrator or any individual that acts in that capacity.
So we are meeting with Vince shortly to begin looking at rubrics. April 4th, Mrs. Sundquist and the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders presented a terrific concert. It was really well received. Many people came up to me after the concert and said, what a great job. They sang some popular songs, and it was a really good time. So congratulations, and thank you for that. This is something new. TCT, which is our credit union, will be starting, and it's a bit of an odd time to start, but we're starting to do a school banking program. In my previous school, the school that I worked at previously, we did have a regular savings program, and it took place on Fridays. When I initially started here, Glens Falls, they still come in and do the lessons, but at the time, I don't believe that they had a regular school banking. So TCT approached us and asked us if we would be willing to start this. And the week of May 2nd is the first week that we'll be accepting deposits. They're not expecting a huge outpouring because it's late in the year. They're also going to come to kindergarten screening, and they're doing a, parents, you have to walk into the bank, you can't sign up here, so parents have to walk into the bank, and they're doing a promotion through the bank to get parents in, to get started with that. And they will do the initial $5 deposit, so.
Connie, I had a maybe undue fear. The teachers have to collect the money.
We had that conversation at the faculty meeting, and actually Irv Hiltz, who's the manager at TCT, they're held harmless for any of those collections. So if someone says, I gave you $10, there's a trust there. And so teachers are held harmless for handling that money. And he explained how you get the zippered and locked bank bags. And he presented to the faculty at the faculty meeting. I asked the same question when I met with him individually, and then the faculty asked the question as well. And as every year they do, Glens Falls National Bank is coming in for lessons on money and savings. The UPK program, we will be holding our two parent meetings, just informational. They'll be held on May 3rd, one's at 2:30 and one's at 5:30 for people who need a later meeting. Kindergarten screening I keep putting on my list, May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, and then the parent information meeting on April 26th. Again, if you know of anyone that has a child of kindergarten age or incoming kindergarten age, if you could have them call the office, it's helpful to know, get our numbers up. Tomorrow begins our state testing with the ELA. And today we ran 504 meetings, so annual reviews are well underway, and it's just busy season, busy days.
Questions? As you can see, the treasurer's report, in March, the state aid starts to flow, and currently, cash basis, we are a little over 22% uncollected revenues. April 1st is the when the uncollected taxes comes from the two counties, so that money will be coming in. But right now, March is always a nice month because the money starts flowing from the state. And if there's no questions, then I'll go right to the budget overview.
As Beth goes back there, the thing that I wanted to just point out, there's a display by the gym. The picture was sent to the board members.
Yes.
And the entry? Oh.
It's the main entrance.
Oh, the main entrance, okay. James Meter was a student that graduated in 1914, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 silver mugs or cups that he won in track and field, and I think there's 21 medals. So if anybody wants to go down and take a look at it, his daughter donated them back to the school. We don't know who the other individual is in the picture, so if anybody knows that, she was adopted. She was adopted, so she didn't have the details as to who the other person was. But all this was donated back to the school, and we needed to show it off because I think this is a heck of an accomplishment for some one individual.
Are there any relatives in the community?
What was the last name?
Meter.
Meter.
Never heard of.
Yeah.
She was in 1914.
He graduated.
There's not a lot of people that are going to be.
That's quite a while.
Well, that's why
descendants.
I wasn't sure.
That's pretty old.
So, but
I also noticed that the awards were actually quite.
They're silver as well.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they used to hand out.
Yeah. Beats the quality of today's awards.
That's why the case.
These are all silver. But it's nice to see that. So if anybody gets
can
a chance.
Can we melt them down? Bad joke. Sorry. Okay. Don't put that in the minutes, kid.
Turn the volume up, you might.
Just to recap, I'm going to present this as a three-part budget, as it will appear in the newsletter, as much as I can follow that format. So, first, look at the revenues. Ultimately, we ended up with $17,273,518. That's the state aid. That was the final run. And with a property tax increase of roughly 4.27%. So basically, since expenditures need to equal revenues, $17,273,518 will be our budget. It's down $436,000 from the previous year. This is a busy page. I'm going to go to it individually, but again, to see it all at once, there's three components to the budget.
Can I ask a question, Beth?
Yes.
I think you should explain to people why the budget is less but the taxes are up. And is that just state aid?
Yes, that's right. Because of the gap elimination, basically, they cut the $1.5 million.
Okay.
There's three parts to the budget, administrative, program, and capital. Administrative is somewhat self-explanatory, but this does include like buildings and grounds and transportation supervision. Program is the instructional component, and capital is your custodial, buildings and grounds, operation and maintenance, and also your debt service. Individually, the administrative component increased a little over 15,000. You can see primarily that's in the benefits category, and as we've discussed at all the budget workshops, benefits were our big driving expense this year. The program, you can see the large decrease, and again, this is because of the staff layoffs, the staff cuts, and the big number being, again, in the instruction. The capital decrease, a little over $7,000, with offset with the plant operations, the cuts that we've made there with staff and utilities, and then being offset by benefits and a decrease, or increase in debt service. And again, the total budget decreased the $436,000 from the previous year. This is our property tax report card, and this is what on our, it's called SAMS, it's a web page that you report to the state, you report this information. This is where I alluded, we'd be going over the fund balance. You can see our total spending is down 2.73%, but our levy has to increase 4.27%. Enrollment is declining, and the consumer price index is, you know, is a given 3.2%. In the 11-12 year, again, you have the three fund balances, your adjusted restricted fund balance, and these are what we call reserves. We have a debt service reserve, an unemployment reserve, and an employee retirement contribution reserve. That's what makes up the $834,000 plus reserve for encumbrances. That's like an in and out every year. Last year we appropriated the $1.1 million, and then we had the $708,000 in our unrestricted, or in the old days used to be called unappropriated. This year we're projecting that we'll end up with roughly $1.7 million. I'd like to think that's on the, you know, we can do better, but I err on the side of caution. We're committing the $800,000 to the appropriated fund balance. We'd be setting aside, or leaving 3% of next year's budget as unrestricted. So if there's any emergencies or unforeseen expenditures, we have the $500,000 to tap into. And then the $381,000 is what would be left in our reserves. What we're starting, when I say we're starting to cannibalize, you can see we're just cutting into our reserves so deeply. And if we keep cutting into our adjusted restricted, it actually impacts what we can raise in taxes. So it's become a two-headed dragon in the sense, because you're kind of, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You try to set the money aside, but then when you have to use it, then you can't raise taxes to help replenish it. So you're in a quagmire. Are there any questions on this? This is the actual one that gets reported to the state tomorrow, once the budget is adopted. This is a new budget notice that's required to be presented to the voters. Again, very busy, very small, so I go through it individually. The part in the middle, though, I've been kind of beating to death with the property tax cap worksheets that I've been presenting. So I'm not going to pull that out separately, but basically it's showing how you take last year's levy, add your exclusions, and what you can raise this year. This is the top part of that sheet. Again, what we need to start talking about at this point is contingency budget. If the budget fails twice, we need to go to contingent, or if it fails once and the board opts to go directly to contingent. Our contingent budget is $16,958,000. Basically, we have to come up with the $314,000 that we're raising in taxes. That's another, instead of our, will decrease over $750,000. That would be a 4.24%. Right now, contingent expenses are roughly $88,000. That's your equipment, and that's all we have because we're not budgeting any raises for managerial confidential. So then we'd have to just go after supplies, and I would probably risk, I guess another way to put it, taking into what we set aside for special ed needs. So we're risking if a family moves into the district or more than one family moves in, we won't have those monies available, and then we'd have to tap into our unappropriated fund balance. This takes a little bit more into detail, and you can see where you have your three components, and you're basically juggling the money the best I can. I've had to keep the administrative component has to be less than the previously defeated budget or the previous years. So we have to, I slashed all supplies out of the administrative budget, all equipment, of course, and some contractual expenses. So it'd be pretty slim. The program, again, the supplies would just be decimated. The $100,000 in the special ed, and then the capital component, cut 20,000 in supplies, and then whatever equipment they had in that portion. In the past, there used to be a growth factor that was allowed, but they did away with that. So if you go to contingent, it's zero growth. Your tax levy cannot go up at all. So again, this is STAR information as part of the newsletter. The basic STAR is estimated to be approximately $400. The vote will be May 15th at the high school auditorium, between the hours of 12 and 8 p.m. And basically, well, this is where, if you want to talk about the propositions, I can stop and go back to it. But that's where I'm at.
Okay. Finish and then we'll come back.
All right. Well,
the other thing, too, before you go on, the vote's May 15th, but on the 8th, it's technically the budget hearing. So the Tuesday prior to the vote, we have a public hearing.
Proposition 1 is basically your budget. Pretty straightforward. Proposition 2 is the library, and they're asking to raise $37,850. Receive those taxes on your behalf. Yes.
On one, what would be the tax increase for the Proposition 1? Do we know what the percentage tax
increase? The tax increase is a 4.27%.
It's 4.27.
That's the most we can, keeping it within the simple, simple majority. Tax majority. Again, the libraries, the $37,850. Proposition number 3 is the buses. We're proposing to dispose of one 65-passenger bus and one 40-plus-1 wheelchair bus, replace them with one 66-passenger bus and one 70-passenger bus for people transportation, not to exceed $201,482. Our transportation supervisor put together some data on our bus fleet. To break it down, we have one bus that's 14 years old. Says it's fair, that would be traded in, assuming that the bus is passed. We have one bus that's 13 years old, again, as it's fair, projected to be traded in or sold. Three buses that are 12 years old, two buses 11 years old, and three buses that are 9 years old. Then we get into our newer fleet. But again, you can see we have an aging fleet. Most of the buses are on the older side. In summary, there's 8 buses that are over 10 years old and 7 buses that have over 100,000 miles on it. And just we threw in that we you know, last year drove almost 274,000 miles over the year. Proposition number 4 is shall the Board of Education be allowed to apply for the additional 10% state building aid for the energy savings capital project, financing thereof. Basically, if we put it to the voters, we can get the additional 10% in state aid. They have a selected and an enhanced. We would receive the selected at 69.5, but if the voters approve asking for more money, we can get 79.5. As was discussed at the last meeting, it'll still go forward.
At this point, it's still down at SED, the energy performance contract, so it hasn't come back for the board's final approval, but in order to have everything in place, if the board decides would still, if we do go forward with the energy performance contract, this allows us to get an additional 10% aid.
Actually, on the timing of that, will we talk about that later, or should we talk about that now? In other words,
the energy performance contract at this point, they haven't come back to us with what the final one is, but it went down to SED, so we can get SED approval. They're going to come back and do a presentation to the board, so we'll make a final decision as to what portions, if any, we want to proceed with. But if we do decide to go forward with any portion of it, this allows us to do
I was thinking more about the board actually hearing something about it, because we're the window's getting smaller and smaller.
What do you mean?
Well, is it scheduled to be with
the... No, we can't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. We don't have any information. I'm just curious.
Well, there's no deadline. I mean, when...
We can't go out to bid for any of this, even though we have...
you're saying it could happen after the vote? We could be informed after
this
the vote.
This is the only thing we have to do now. Then there's no particular... The other things we're voting on have nothing to do with it. You know, if it takes the state 3-4 months, that's when we get it back. I'm hoping it doesn't. That's beyond our control.
They originally had a one-week turnaround in December. Now they've gone back to 12 to 16-week turnaround for approval of any project. Energy performance contracts are longer than that. So we're looking at this point losing this summer, unfortunately. And that, if it does happen, we'll just make sure that when we do have the opportunity to move forward, we can. But we're still, at this point, all the board's given permission is to pursue the energy performance contract, get SED approval, and that's what we're doing. We'll come back and finally make the decision as to what portion, if any, we wish to continue with. And whatever portion we wish to continue with, we'll get an additional 10% if this is approved.
And then that's the last proposition that I have, and that's, I think, we need to discuss.
The one that's 9B, which is the recommendation of the change of the mileage. The last slide that's on the handout were just the four board candidates, and we already went through who they are. Augie Brownell, Gary Brown, Steve Lola, and Peyton McLennan. So those are the four running for two seats.
Do you want me to hand this out about the non-public?
Do you want to go through the reports, and when we get to B, discuss?
Sure.
Yeah,
now,
let's do it that way.
Do we need to formally adopt the budget, or just wait until they...
No, we can.
Okay.
That's
on there? Okay.
Anything else from you folks? Board of Education reports is the next item. Before we do our individual reports, we have a discussion on next year's meetings. And I think the superintendent is requesting that we go back to Tuesday evening meetings, and the reason being?
It makes it much easier from the standpoint of the consistency of the report. If you take a look, I don't know if you guys had a copy, you were given a copy at one point. The only time that it creates an issue, there isn't one. I thought there was last year.
This?
No, it's a calendar with the shaded
date.
If we pick consistently the second Tuesday of every month, it makes it easier for the public to know when we're going to have a meeting. I do realize now that we're doing this, that May becomes an issue because that's the day we vote, so we'd have to move that one. But other than that, it would give us the same day all the time. If we would have done the Monday meetings like we're doing, it creates a little zoo over in our office to get everything done for that evening. And that only happens a couple of times next year. It's what we have always done in the past prior to, I think it was this year we switched, or January of last year we switched.
Are you looking for comments from us?
Well, I would like it. My feeling, especially if we have four new board members that are coming on board, it would be nice they know when meetings are, so if they have to make commitments. I know you made an arrangement because you were teaching or something the first time, and it was why we couldn't switch before.
I'm fine for Tuesdays. And I'm fine for Tuesdays. And you guys are not going to be here.
What was the, what's the public understanding of the date, or you're just saying commit to it now?
It would make it much easier if we were consistent with the second Tuesday of every month.
And it's a lot easier for Vince's office to get...
No, I understand that point. I'm trying to figure out the other...
The only one I see a problem with, I'd have to check, do you know if it, May 14th is going to be the vote next year?
I think it's always the second Tuesday of the year, so...
So we have to change that date, that's the only one, May 14th.
We've had board meetings on...
Okay.
Our count is a meeting. The meeting is the vote. Isn't that how it always worked?
Well, I'm pretty sure we had a regular meeting the night of vote.
They have to adopt or accept the results of the vote. So I don't think you want to do that on the night of the vote. We can wait till June.
That's a whole
yep.
year away.
Yep. Okay.
So there's no objections from the current board members doing that. Are we following anybody up who's running for the board? Two people that are here say no, so I see no reason why we shouldn't just authorize you to schedule those meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Lillian, do you have anything to report?
Not at the time,
no. Okay. Paul?
Just want to report, we had a meeting of the Health and Wellness Committee. It was an abbreviated meeting because there was just crashing schedules. But Mrs. Braun, our cafeteria director, presented to us two items which I thought were pretty interesting. One of them was, many of you may have heard the whole, it's not really a crisis, but I guess it's a new story about so-called pink slime in meat in schools. So what she's reported to us is that she is, even though the FDA has deemed it safe for consumption, and most of us probably buy it every day, especially if we shop locally here at IGA. Despite this, she wanted to be proactive and has begun removing it, which sounds like she's doing it like tomorrow, but we've already made purchases and agreements with our suppliers. So when those expire, we'll look into getting suppliers. And obviously, this is probably going to raise our costs slightly, but I think it's probably good to stay on top of that one. The other item that Mrs. Braun presented, which was kind of the result of a number, probably a year's worth of these meetings, is she presented a handout that she designed for classroom celebrations, especially at the elementary level. It was something the committee has been talking about, the whole idea of, we have a lot of celebrations going on, relatively speaking, in classrooms. Then the question becomes, do we want to be feeding kids cupcakes and other sugary snacks in the middle of the day? Some people felt that that would be wrong. Other people felt that it would be the right thing to do because that's good parenting, to show your kids you love them. I'm smirking a little bit because I personally fall on the no cupcakes side. However, I do respect the fact that, you know, that parents really do feel that way and do feel like they want to do something nice for their kids. So what she's come up with is a handout which basically goes out to parents and lets them know these are some healthy choices you might want to try. So it's kind of promoting the healthier choices and informing parents that that's something that we're hoping they would choose. But essentially, parents can bring in what they end up doing. So, and also, she offers menus for classroom celebrations. So if you're a parent and you don't want to, make, what do they call it, ants on a log with the celery sticks, she could do that through the cafeteria. So that was just a really nice solution to what was really a heated discussion for a long time over, telling parents what to serve their kids versus telling teachers what to serve kids in school. So hopefully we've got it. So our policy as a district is to encourage and promote healthier choices. So I think that holdout does that. So that was the really the only committee meeting that happened. The other thing that I want to bring up for administrative consideration, hoping you guys will think about this, and I talked to this with Vince, I get about 10 to 20 letters from the school. I have three boys in the district, and I think the district spends probably about $20 on postage just sending me notifications, and I'm not even counting the referrals.
But we are.
Not from me.
Those have gotten better. But in any case, well, you know, it's 45 cents to get a notification out. My preference is to just get an email if it's possible. And I know these are changes that have been discussed, and they're a little difficult to do because there's a transitional aspect. There's many parents who just don't have internet access and don't want things. They don't trust their email. I'd much rather we get things on emails faster. So I'm just hoping that's something we will start pursuing. I know we're already looking at Parent Portal, which will allow parents to access their kids' attendance and homework and assessment records directly. That's something we're looking at for September. I think that's fantastic. But I also would hope that we could look at just getting, you know, like notifications for the state exams. That I would have loved to get that as an email and directly. I would have just directly put that into my calendar.
And we just made that. Well, Mrs. Diot and I made that decision because of the timing of the state exam. So we did send a last minute notice out just to remind people who might have been thinking about staying in Florida for a few extra days.
And I think you have to notify the parents. And I think right now we don't have a real system, but I think we did one more mailing basically to parents saying, hey, if you'd like to get a majority of these notifications via email, please give us a couple email addresses. And we'll do that. I think we might have a capability to do this. So that's just something that I think
something we do as parents come in to sign up for Parent Portal. There could be an option at that point for them to say that they would prefer to receive notifications via email.
Exactly.
And we can put notice on the website if anybody wants it. Just let us know. We can start to add that stuff too.
Right. That'd be great. That's it. Good.
I just have a comment. You have three kids, so you get three notifications of everything.
Well, there's two kids that are in an elementary school, and one kid, so there's different notifications there. I'm sorry, two kids in secondary, one kid. No, my iPhone tells me. But no, there are times where I do get three specific notifications. You pay 45 cents more to send two report cards separately for my two secondary, but then we'd have to pay somebody to go through all the records and say, okay, these kids are a family, so we'll put these, you know. And I know there's other family structures that we're dealing with, the parents that are separated, so we're mailing stuff. It's not that easy of a solution, but I just wanted to just kind of nudge in that direction.
I was going to talk to Steve to try to see what we can do with that, because I know if we have one mailing out that is K through 12, the same thing, it's ridiculous to send more than one email for our mailing. If we had email, it would be easier, but if we could send one letter, it would be much more efficient.
Put the poor post office out of business.
They're doing that to themselves.
Yeah, they are. Jan?
I'd like to say thank you for the curriculum mapping efforts. I think that is phenomenal, and will continue to propel the school and the education of our students. I just think that's great. And I think it's
Jan,
great.
Jan, can you speak into the mic more?
I can speak to the mic. Oh, there we go. But so, actually, on the curriculum mapping, how's that? Okay. On the curriculum mapping, what I was saying is I was commending that we actually had the meeting around the software and are starting the curriculum mapping, but both in elementary and secondary. And I know it's probably frustrating to some, but the results, I'm sure, will be the proof in the pudding. Also, I think it's great that there's a school banking effort. I think that's it's a little thing, but it's learning to manage money as a child is a critical developmental process, and nothing like putting a little change in the bank. And I'm sure that there will be errors in counting the change by teachers.
Just take the envelope.
Howard.
Just a couple of things. This Thursday is Earth Day here at the school, and I've been invited to come into the second grade, and we're going to do some things with the kids on invasive species and critters, and a little bit about how climate change is something we've all got to be kind of conscious of. And I'd like to also talk a little bit to the kids about good conservation practices around the home, non-renewable, renewable resources, and such. Coming up for a vote tonight is our second trip to the Yale Peabody Museum at Yale. The AP Environmental students, if this trip is approved, will go through the labs down there and meet the scientists and have lunch with them. They're extracting a velociraptor from a Chinese sedimentary deposit, and the kids will get to see the last remaining artifacts that Hiram Bingham so carefully removed from Machu Picchu over there. It's a nice trip for those kids. In May and June, the kindergarten and second grade kids will go up to Lake Lauderdale. I'll devise some units for them up there. They're in conjunction with some of the things that they're doing in the classroom. And that's a nice facility up there, so they'll all enjoy that, provided the mosquitoes aren't too big. Hopefully that'll all work out for them.
Thank you. A couple of things. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the kids and their advisors on Les Miserables. I've never seen a school try such a demanding play. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Policy committee, we had a meeting and then we basically put things on hold. We had so many budget workshops and we will reconvene May 23rd, I believe it is, and then try to get somewhere. Somewhere in May. Yeah.
We'll reset. You could be right. I'm thinking of April. Sorry.
Doesn't matter. So we're going to reconvene. We haven't forgotten that. We'll get back to our every other week schedule then. And perhaps, I don't know if we're planning on going through the summer. We'll discuss that.
Yeah.
Okay. The building project is still on hold. We haven't heard from state ed. Yeah, unfortunately. Hopefully that we won't lose the summer because of their delays.
Went down and spoke to Kurt Miller, Beth and I, when we went down on the lobby day. Didn't move it along. Tried.
Okay. And then the board received self-evaluation forms, which we will fill out and have a meeting, and we should set up a meeting right now for sometime in May, probably after the budget vote. I work on a Tuesday night. What's the 7th? The 22nd? Does that work? You're going away.
I don't know what time we'll be back.
Okay. Howie's no good that night. He's coming back from Yale. How about the Monday night?
I just had a preschool class that morning. Yep. That's fine.
Monday night, the 21st of May?
That's our board meeting.
Board meeting.
Jane Lang's preschool.
Okay.
That's always fun. I love that.
No,
I
wish you had it.
I get to see it.
I'm doing it for the policy on Wednesday. What time is it? I can't. I worked all over. I'm sorry.
Do you want to do it at 6 o'clock in the executive session and schedule it on Monday the 21st?
Okay. Monday the 21st, executive session will be our self-evaluation. And that's something new for Cambridge. We'll see how it works out for us, and the new board members will probably benefit from a better evaluation form next year. And this is the board self-evaluation. We also have a superintendent evaluation, which we will be doing in June. Okay, I have nothing else to report. Old business, you wanted to discuss proposition plan. I guess I'm confused as to what you want to discuss. I know we have the distance one coming up as an agenda item. You had other propositions you wanted to discuss.
Right, when we discussed them, it had to be done that day. And I think that we should discuss them because there was no other day.
What were your questions?
Well, the 15 to 18 mile vote, I would have to say no on that.
Well, that one's already on the agenda.
Okay.
It's right. The library.
The library, I have no problem with that.
Okay, and the other one is the
and
buses.
The increase on the state aid, I don't know because how can we put it on the ballot when we haven't even voted for it yet?
We're just giving us permission to go for more aid if it's approved. We can't do anything. If we don't, then we have to, there's no time to vote until next year. We only have to ask the community to vote. Well, no, we could do a special election. Right?
We could do a special election, but if we don't have it now before we start, we can't go for the extra 10%. So the, if we do go forward with an energy performance contract, that's all we're asking is permission from the community to put in for the additional 10%. If we don't do it now, and we have to have a special election before we started the project, and if we started the project and waited till next year to vote, we couldn't get the 10% because it's too late. We'd have to do the 10% vote prior to the starting of any of the vote.
So this 10% that we're going to be putting on the proposition, people will be voting on, if the energy project doesn't go through, obviously,
correct,
this is going to be void.
Correct.
And then the last one is the school bus.
The school buses, right. I really have to vote no on the school buses. This Jamie Frank put together something, I think, to save the district money and help with the buses. I think this deserves to have a committee put together of the bus superintendent, one or two board members, some parents, including Janet, to look into this to see if we could eliminate some of the need for more buses. And we did buy 2 new buses last year.
Well, if I remember right, we've had very spotty approval on buses, and that's why the fleet has aged.
Two of the last 4 years of buses were voted down, which has put us behind in the replacement schedule. That's why the buses are starting to age out.
And I think in the report, which the public hasn't seen, what we have is state of the school district report, which we got.
It's on the website now.
Discussion of the reduction in the number of buses and bus runs that we've had.
Right.
It seems, I'm not a transportation expert, it seems like we're getting down to a minute. I mean, with the size of the district that we have to pick up kids for that.
Yeah, I did go over that briefly today because I didn't get it till the last minute, but we don't really have the money for it. You know, we're having a problem with our budget now, and yet we want, what, $21,000 to put into the budget?
Well, I guess maybe we should have Vince or maybe we should have Randy in here, but it seems from the discussions we've had in the past, it's if we have to repair these buses, it costs more than if we had bought new buses to replace it. So we're getting into inspection problems and things that have to be repaired on these things.
DOT has a hard time with buses that are over 10 years old because the integrity of the bus is what starts to fail, not the engine. But even if, when I started to put back, I think it's the 14-year-old, the 13-year-old, and the 2 12-year-old buses. They basically use them sparingly, yes. But there are times that we have to use them for, when it says spares, it doesn't mean it's not used. It would be like for field trips or for sporting events or other activities that are going on when the buses are doing their AM runs or their PM runs. There is a district that's locally that hasn't been replacing their buses and lost 3 buses to the DOT inspection, came over and was going to borrow a bus from us because they were so desperate they were going to borrow from 3 from different surrounding districts, and they finally agreed to take them all from one, or one district agreed to give them all. So it does create an issue. The cost per mile, especially when you get into the spare buses, they have to be repaired more frequently, and it's a much larger cost because they're not used all the time. And 14 years old is really, for a bus, I'm not aware of other districts that have 14-year-old buses. And that's, I know it's the same discussion that we have all the time, but we need to have a replacement schedule too. Keep the fleet. I would assume we'd want the best possible way to transport the most prized possessions.
But these buses are passing inspection, or else they wouldn't be used.
Oh, they've passed so far, but that doesn't mean they will continue. I said DOT. I'd like to invite you the next time we have a DOT inspection to show you exactly what's going on. We can have the mechanics go through a bus and it will pass their inspection, and when the DOT inspector comes, it will fail. We're lucky enough. I think, what's the passing rate, 96%?
94, I think.
94%? Yeah. Well, that's a
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says a lot about our bus mechanics.
Yeah.
and the relationship they developed with the DOT inspectors, but a DOT inspector could change, and usually when the new one comes in, you know, he's got to, you know, prove himself, and so at any given, you know, inspection, some of those buses are shaky.
Well, I've been hearing that, you know, there are one or two buses that aren't going to pass inspection next year. That's what I've heard.
I can't tell you that they are or they're not. And passing inspection, we can have a bus fail, but be re-inspected. But there are also, when the local other district that lost three buses, there were three buses that were lost permanently. DOT would not allow them to be put back on the road to transport students. So I don't ever want to be in that situation. What is the reimbursement in transportation next year? 66?
66.4. So these buses, the two buses that cost over $200,000 on the, it will cost the district roughly $58,000. So, you know, with the aid.
58 over 5 years.
Right.
This is a proposition that you already voted yes on. Is there a move in the rest of the board to rescind that motion?
That's your prerogative. Well, you already voted yes. So the question is you're moving to bring that back up for a vote, and we don't have a second, if I understand.
Nobody else wants to relook at that.
Just to keep it official.
But the night of the vote, you can do what you will. In the privacy of voting. Okay, new business. Consider approval of consent agendas as listed in the consent agenda for personnel and the consent agenda for new business. Any second?
Second.
Any comments or questions on those items? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
And no opposed. Excuse me, one question. Why did you choose May 25th? It's fine with me, but why that day for the extra day?
Just that it was usually tied to the Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, so
it would be Friday.
Oh, Friday. That's good.
Now, this consent agenda doesn't accept F on
May 25th. So it's Friday, May 25th. Okay, item B. Recommend the board rescind the following resolution, which is our transportation proposition, which reads, shall the Board of Education be authorized to extend the school district's current policy for transporting non-public school students from the current 15-mile to 18 miles, effective at the beginning of the 2012-13 school year, in the approximate amount of $94,723 and a levy necessary to tax thereof. Second from Paul. So this was heatedly discussed at the last meeting, and after the last meeting, there were some numbers that were presented to the board from the business manager, and this is going to cost us some money that we have to budget for the following year.
Is there the additional request? There was a third school that...
Right, there's actually now a third school. There was a phone call, Augustine, Augustine Classical.
Classic, yeah.
And that would be within, so the 94,000 is now actually 142,000.
Okay. Is there any need for Jen?
Yeah, I'd like to ask. So what's the 94,000? How does that
here,
work?
Here, there's a handout.
But, oh.
I can. The top page is from Jay O'Connor at Program Management, State Education Department, basically saying that it's not a matter of law to change the central pickup point, so that...
Right, they worded it incorrectly. The
right.
Spirit of
and
that,
then,
their point was
right,
to actually extend
that.
It.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is, because what I understand, they talked to him as well, but they worded it incorrectly.
Right, so it has to be the change in the 15 to 18 is the residency
right, so these
requirement.
Citizens who went out to get the public to sign, who actually the public signed, got more people to sign than actually the library. They worded it incorrectly, and so what this is saying is because they used the wrong language, this is going to be kicked out. Correct?
No, it's not a language thing. It's a matter of law. That they, regardless of
well,
the language...
Well, the law is written in language.
Right, and they don't have the authority to change the sexual pickup point, is the opinion of this gentleman at State Ed and our lawyer. So the only thing they could
change...
Right,
because they said change the...
The sexual pickup point. So the only thing they could bring forward is to change the residency requirement to the non-public school.
Right.
From 15 to 18.
Right.
So then I looked into that to see, you know, what would be the impact. The probable cost would be an additional $10,000, Grace Christian, because it would just be the extra, I think it's 4.5 miles. The Adirondack school would become eligible. There is a student, two students attending it now. One of them do live within the 18 miles. That's an approximate cost of $37,000. There's been the request from the Augustine Classical. That student also lives within the 18, and that has a cost of $47,000. And then there's three schools that would be the potential of having a student live near our boundaries, and they may be eligible to attend these schools, Oakwood Christian, Burr and Burton, and Great Expectations. The Oakwood Christian's $54,000, Burr and Burton $47,000, Great Expectations $51,000. If you were just to budget one of those, if you take the lowest one, the $47,000, when you add them all up now, you have a potential impact in the 12-13 budget of $142,000,
so
and there's
you,
no aid that follows.
You're basing
runs.
This budget on requests that are made or by potential?
Three of them are actual. Well, the
and
Grace
the other
Christian.
Three, so Oakwood, Burn Burton, and Great Expectations.
Would be potentials.
They're potential. So you budget for everybody that's within 15 miles that could potentially go to a school that's within 15 miles today?
I used to. It was called contract transportation, but I cut it from the budget because we had to make such drastic cuts. So if we're going to change our transportation policy, I think I would need to budget for that potential. But even if I didn't do the 47, I'd be...
Let's forget the 47.
Actually, I'm not sure that you can.
We're still talking 94,000, which we do have to...
No, I know. I'm just trying to clarify the use of numbers, which I'm quite familiar with.
The proposition was reworded by our lawyers, by the way. It's not a technicality where it's going to be thrown out. If you take a look at B, it was worded changing the 15 to 18 miles. That was the legal aspect because I was charged by the board the last time to get the lawyer's input on that. So it was not that the petition was miswritten because you wanted the intent.
From my standpoint, it's a question of money, cutting money from drastic money from our own budget, and we're basically asking for a state mandate that we don't have to.
But I think you're getting ahead of me, so maybe you can let me speak. So my question is around the 94,000 and where that came to, and then the 142,000. I just want some real numbers to go out to the public.
Okay.
Because right now I'm hearing that we have to budget for the potential of students, but I know that if you look at, take every student within the district that's within 15 miles, that's not being budgeted for.
But Jim, we already had a request from this other school, so that's got to be budgeted for. And we have two students already attending another school, so that's got to be budgeted for.
Okay.
And then the Grace Christian would be the additional?
I've got six schools here.
We just were trying to educate you to the fact that there are other schools that would also be eligible, and if someone came and requested that, we would have to budget for them.
So
I would think if having the fiduciary responsibility of the district, you would be much more conscious of that, not extending that to all the taxpayers.
No, I'm not. I'm actually right now, I'm not voting for or against this. I'm voting for clarity right now and the democratic process, which these people went to great lengths to get people to sign a petition. So what we're doing now as a board, we're saying they don't have the right of the public to vote on this. We the superior board members will make the decision.
Well, being a matter of law, the only thing that could be voted on is the pickup, not the pickup point from their house. And that's what we changed the resolution to say.
I just think this is a travesty of the democratic process. And that's my opinion.
Can I just make a comment? Are there any aids or grants out there that we could apply for that would help with this, that would maybe pay for it?
Not that I'm aware of. It's a private school, and most of the aides or whatever would be considered with public school. We can't transport to another district that's 15 miles. If we were to transport to Salem or Greenwich or whatever, then that becomes their resident school of attendance. And that would be a permanent, as soon as we agreed to do something like that would be a permanent arrangement that we would be locked into. So that's not anything with the private school, but there's still no grants that I'm aware of that would be available for that.
Okay, anybody else have any comments? We need a vote on this. This is to rescind the proposition we voted for last time. All those in favor of rescinding?
Aye.
Aye. It's three.
I abstain.
One abstention, and all those opposed? How would you do both?
I abstain.
Two abstentions, three no's. So this proposition is removed from the budget. Vote.
Can I go back to the buses just for a minute?
No.
I said in my statement that I thought that we could get a committee together to see if there was something that we can do about the buses. And I think that's a really good idea because, I just think that maybe it could help. Whether the buses pass or they don't pass hasn't really got anything to do with the statement of looking to see if there's runs that we can save.
Have you analyzed Jamie's comments from...
There was nothing that I could find, and I emailed back for clarification where she made the statement in public about $500 for every person that writes off. Most of the articles were from other states, and there's nothing, because we've talked to Jay O'Connor, that he's even aware of. But if you want a committee, we can do whatever you want.
Well, just something that can be open so that if you want to do it, it's still an okay thing.
If I can just say, the articles I sent you, you're right, were from other states about ideas for alternatives. But the laws I emailed you were directly from the New York State Department of Ed. And I did have to be careful on what I forward because, if you are aware, I work for the Research Foundation of SUNY. I can't make a direct, this is how, put a dollar amount on something in writing to you. So I have to be careful about it. So
but when I emailed you back about the $500, you never responded, so I don't know where that comes from.
Legality-wise, I can't. Not from my office, which is where you emailed. That's what I'm trying to do.
I'm not sure how to proceed on this, because it seems like we have a transportation manager. What's the pleasure of the rest of the board?
Randy.
Well, would Randy be willing to sit down with Lillian and Jamie and...
and a few others from the community to look into this.
Can we just have a transportation forum or something one night where Randy can start, or maybe can come to a meeting and explain how the transportation system works. Why don't we start there?
He was going to come tonight. We
okay, let's invite Randy to the next meeting or the meeting after and explain how the transportation system works. Okay?
That's fine.
Okay, we'll start with that.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Very important item, appointments to tenure. Move approval of the following recommendations. Recommend that Jackie Hall, holding her supplementary certification in health, be appointed to tenure in the health area effective September 1st, 2012, and contingent upon her obtaining permanent certification within the parameters of her current certification. And the second one, recommend that Colleen Lester, holding a permanent certification as school district administrator, be appointed to tenure in the area of school district administrator area effective July 1st, 2012. I second for Paul. Discussion. Not much needs to be said. I move approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well deserved. Item D, recommend the board approve the following resolution to approve the agreement between Madison Oneida BOCES and the Cambridge Central School District for the 2012-13 school year for specific services as outlined on the final services commitment form. Second, needed. Second from Paul again. Can you explain a little bit about what this is?
This is the science program.
Right.
The science kits.
The science kits, the live animals, and I think people were backing out, so they want a commitment, and they want a board resolution saying that you are committed to this. I think because people were saying yes, they do their budgets, and then at the last minute, people were pulling out.
What sort of live, what do you mean live animals?
Is that the owl pellets?
Live animals, unless it's fruit flies, I'm not aware of.
Oh, sorry.
Owl pellets.
Those animals used to be live.
Yeah.
Before they were digested.
Unfortunately for them, they're not any longer. Okay, so this is like $1,200 or something. Okay. Small item. Okay. All those in favor of approving owl pellets?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Me. I am.
You're opposed.
Yeah, I am. I think they could collect their own. I always did. $1,200. Also, we've got Mike Galo, who's a wildlife rehabilitator right down here in West Hoosick that provides schools with owl pellets. Probably a lot cheaper than that.
We've already voted. Okay.
Or your $1,200.
The Democratic process.
Okay. Item E, recommend the approval of the following resolution. Be it resolved, the Board of Cooperative Educational Services of Washington, Saratoga, Warren, Hamilton, Essex counties is authorized to expend the sums set forth in the administration budget in the total amount of $5,675,775 during the school year 2012-13. I need a second.
This is an increase of about 2% over last year. It's the only part of the BOCES budget that we can vote on. What they've been doing is reapportioning the expenditures to the programs. So that's why some of the programs have changed. The CTE programs went up, some of the special ed went down. Because in the past, they always put everything into special ed because we were getting money back from if we sent the student to BOCES, the BOCES reimbursement was
so
crossed over our stack, our three times our average operating expenditures. We get a high cost aid back from the state. And they were always trying to pad that budget. The new business manager is trying to make sure that all the expenditures are more appropriately distributed. So this is the only portion that we vote on is the administrative, and it's 2%. Or actually, it's a little less than 2%.
I would say, a little under 2.
But what if we don't? What if we don't vote positive?
There are 31 school districts, so we can say no, and if the majority say yes, it will still move forward. There's usually a school district up north that always votes no, and it's usually 30 yeses to one no. But it's the prerogative of the board if you wish to vote no.
No, I was just, it seems funny that we get to vote on a slice, and actually the vote only carries weight if 16 other districts vote.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If we get one vote, no matter how big.
I'd like some clarification on administering the budget. What did that actually entail?
It's the running of the BOCES as opposed to the programs they take out. Like I said, BOCES has, I don't know how many different component schools, but everything is taken out separately. The CTE is one program. It could be the health insurance is another. Every individual program within CTE, if you're in technical education program, horticulture, HVAC, air conditioning, whatever, is all individually coordinated as to how much each one costs. So once you filter all those out, what the oversight is of all the different components of BOCES is the BOCES administrative budget. The other thing too is if they have a capital project, their capital project goes in the administrative portion of the budget because we vote on that. But if there's a specific part, like if the plumbing trades went out and bought all sorts of equipment or had a new renovation of their program, that's specific to their program, that would not be part of the administrative budget. So it gets complicated other than the fact that
What's the rough total budget for those?
That's
probably unfair to throw at you.
It's got
to
be.
Well, I would say probably the administrative component probably be 10% of the overall budget, because that's where it usually falls. So it's probably a $50 million budget.
I was going to say about $45 to $48 million for the budget.
Is that why the administrators come to us every year and talk to us?
Probably. They want to, you know, sell their wares, and that's basically what they're trying to do. I'm a firm believer that if we benefit by it, we should participate with it. If we don't, we shouldn't. So,
but we don't have a choice, though, do we?
Salem has started to pull out from BOCES, the peer and technical part, and they're offering certain components within their district that will fulfill
but
some of the
so
needs.
They don't pay?
They still pay the administrative budget. They don't pay for the specific services.
Right.
So as a component district, yes, we still have to pay the administrative portion no matter what we participate in.
It's legally mandated.
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. Okay. Here's what we've been working on the last couple of months. Recommend approval of the following resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cambridge Central School District approve approval of the 2012-13 budget and tax report card. Recommend approval of the 2012-13 budget in the amount of $17,273,518. Also recommend approval of the tax report card dated April 16th, 2012.
Second
from Howard. Discussion. This has been a long haul. I don't think anybody in the room is probably happy with the budget. I don't know how we could have done it a lot better. I really appreciate the constructive inputs and criticisms from the very large attendance at the board workshops. That was pleasant to have people involved and concerned. Board, you get your final say right now. Lillian.
I do. This is in regards to the school budget, and I would like the statement entered into the minutes so that people, especially the public, know where I stand on it. I am not voting for the budget for several reasons. The teacher, staff, salaries, benefits, and health insurance are a major part of our budget, and there is no contract settlement. I feel the teachers must be well aware of the economic situation of the school and should be willing to make some sacrifices on their part, whether it's pay freezes, paying more for their health insurance, something. And because of all the extracurricular activities are being cut, I think we as the board and the school should make a commitment to find a way to allow the Booster Club parents and volunteers from the community to make these activities available for the children. I believe that these activities are important because they teach the children to work together, they broaden their minds, and they teach them responsibility and commitment. And I also think other staff should be considered when looking at layoffs, not just teachers. As far as I know, there are no non-teaching staff being laid off. And I suggested at one of the budget hearings that if just other expenses and supplies on the budget item totaling approximately $776,000 were cut by 15%, this alone would be a savings of approximately $116,000. I was told that we can't nickel and dime the budget, but if we cut some of our expenses and stop overestimating on our budget, the total budget would be lower and our taxes would be less. Every year, the budget is overestimated. Last year, the budget was overestimated approximately $557,000, higher than what they actually spent. The year before, it was about $810,000. And the year before that, it was $997,000. If we cut the budget by only half of the amount, half of the amount of the budget from last year, that would still leave us $279,000 extra in the budget that could be used for other expenses or unexpected expenses. And we still have enough money to put in the fund balance. Finally, why aren't we spending more from the fund balance? I've said this before, there are a lot of people in our community that are on fixed incomes and have been laid off. Some can't get the medical help they need because they have to pay their taxes. And yet every year we keep raising taxes. I want to keep the people that live in our district here, and not have them move out because they can't afford taxes. I want to keep our school at a high ranking locally and statewide, and I know that we can do this. Again, I am voting no because I don't believe that this is the best we can do. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if I can respond to all those numbers, but your opinion. Anybody have any other comments? Either to everyone or to Lily in particular?
Yeah, I'd like to comment to one thing that I've heard three or four times this evening and certainly before, and that is the attitude of beating up on the teachers and making it their responsibility for not getting a budget settlement. This board has worked very hard on trying to get all of these cuts so that there's some equanimity between all of the areas of the school and trying to keep this place going. The teachers are the people who actually run the school. They're the people who make it a place for kids to thrive, to enjoy being in school, and to be successful community members. And to assume that it's all the teacher's responsibility to take this very onerous task on is beyond my thoughts. And I think Vince and the rest of the board has really tried to do the best they can in this budget, and that should be kind of a separate issue in my mind.
Thank you, Al. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this budget for a couple months, and it's evolved, a lot has changed. A number of the things you stated in your written presentation were just, I think, wrong. Some of them are just inaccurate, and some of them I think are in the right direction. You said you wanted to get as many of the extracurriculars back. And my understanding is we're going to get almost all of them right now. Vince is going very hard to get the teachers to adjust the schedule of the day, so those things that used to be external and now be internal will be able to offer them to the kids. So I think that's in there. I want to echo what Howard said. I think he's right. I want to be real clear. The teacher contract and the teacher benefits are something that this Board of Education has promised them. And, you know, to now just say that, you know, open your wallets and give it back, and that'll solve everything, is just very naive. I think, in order, given the political climate and the financial climate of the state, I really think that having the teachers participate and cooperate and actually give back, I think it's going to be essential. But I think it's not at all constructive to lay blame and to make demands. We're in no position to make demands.
I'm not trying to lay blame to anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, they should be willing to do something. They know that bind we're in. And I'm not saying that they all have to take a pay freeze or they have to do anything special, but they should be willing to do something.
Okay, well, probably getting to territory we shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah, negotiation specifics of executive session areas. Okay. In any case, I just wanted to say I agree. I think this is an extremely challenging budget, and I think, you know, I think it's about as good as we can make it.
Okay, let's just vote on it then, guys. All those in favor of this budget?
Aye.
Aye.
We've got four yeses?
No.
And one no. We have a new item, G. Recommend approval of the following resolution. It is hereby resolved that the Board of Education of Cambridge Central School District approves the memorandum of agreement between the Cambridge Central School District and the Administrators Association in regard to Article 8, Section 1, labeled compensation, and authorizes the superintendent to execute said agreement on behalf of the district.
That was what we were talking about last time when they agreed to take a page, please.
I believe I said thank you then. I'll say thank you now. Again, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Okay, that gets us to second public comment session. Questions? Ronnie, again, you're going to close the meeting for us, too.
I have just a couple of questions. And you mentioned the petition.
Yes.
Regarding the transportation.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Sure. There was a group that had a petition signed. I don't know. There are 4 or 5 pages, so I'm assuming 30 people on each page, 150 people had signed a petition to extend the bus transportation from 15 miles to 18 miles. And so they presented the petition last board meeting. We voted to actually have that go on the vote in May. And as you see, the board members that voted to take that off.
I'm hoping to put 400,000 back.
So that means that you went ahead, the budget does have $400,000 of padding in it.
Would we pre-purchase in the previous year? So we tried to get ahead of the curve.
But it's $400,000 higher than you expected spending. So we just wanted, William was right.
Well, that's
if you look, know anything about municipal budgeting, there's always, because you can't go back and re-tax, there's always something in there. We had a student, I keep saying it, and I keep getting beat up when I say it, one student moving into the district is going to cost us $260,000 next year, and we didn't have that budgeted this year. They came in January. So we can be hit with expenditures, and the smaller the district, the worse it can be affected.
That is the unrestricted fund balance is intended to be lower, right?
Well, if you realize we took $1.1 million last year from the fund balance, so what we're doing is just not spending all of that $1.1 million. So it's not increasing the taxes. It's not having an effect on
that. Actually, you didn't, because you put $600 back, so you took out $500,000.
Out of the $1.1
million.
Right. We were able to pre-purchase and do things to get ahead of the curve. I always say chase the revenue, find out, like with BOCES or whoever will reimburse us when it's an expense-driven revenue. That's what I'm talking about. If we can spend the money to get money back next year in the long run, if we spend, like with transportation, if we spend $100,000, it's only going to cost us $34,000 because we get $66,000 back. So we try to do as much as we can, but if we don't get that, we have to still budget for the total expenditure.
It's a question of how close you want to cut it. I think most of the people up here do not want to play too many games with cutting it too close. We have to keep the fund balance within legal limits, but we still have to have money there if we need it. We've been through these discussions many, many times on how much we should have and what we need it for. Okay, any other questions?
There's another question.
I think Carrie has.
Oh, sorry.
I don't really have a question, but rather a statement. I just wanted to make people aware that there is something going on in the community in regards to trying to find out information or listening from our alumni to do an alumni drive for the school. We're trying to pay it back.
Governor.
I'm sorry.
Get a new governor.
And as well.
And I'm a Democrat.
So try to see what we can do. So I just wanted to kind of FYI and then reach out and see what we can find out from the school district in regards to where it's going.
Thank you. I move we adjourn. Second, Sir Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Now she always wants to.
Okay, what are you doing? What? Yes, I am.